Let's pray before we read and think about this wondrous story even some more than we already have. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you that you gave Jesus to die on the cross for us so that our sins through faith in him might be forgiven. Lord, help us to understand the story. This wondrous story of you giving your son, your only son, to die for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, and I'll be reading verses 16 through 39. Kind of breaking into the story of the crucifixion of Christ, but I'll leave some of it for you to read at home. The story is in all four Gospels, and Mark is the shortest of all four of them. Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 39. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. This is Mark 15, 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," they said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Today we're going to look a little bit at the crucifixion of Jesus. How do you arrange your day? You know, some people arrange their day according to the jobs or the tasks that they have to do. Sometimes I do it that way. and you know, my list. Hey, do this, this, and this. Other people arrange their day according to time periods. I have from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock to do this job. I have from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock to do this. Well, Mark was writing to a Roman audience, and we see it, his use of Latin words that are found nowhere else in the Bible. They're actually written in Latin in the text. Words like praetorium, we read that, or cohort, or centurion. The word out of the Latin language is actually used for centurion rather than the Greek one. But you know what? He's writing to a Roman audience, but he uses the Jewish way of recording time. The Jewish day started at 6 in the morning. That was, you know, 0 hour. But John used the Roman system. So that's like our system, the Roman system. Perhaps to say that, you know, what's really happening is what's happening in Jerusalem and not what's happening in Rome. Most of the Romans thought what's happening is Rome is the most important thing. But I think Mark might have even used the time, the way you told time, to get people's attention. Well, let's look at the crucifixion today as recorded for us by Mark according to three time periods. He's the only one who divides this up according to time periods so that we get it. So we see what happened throughout the day during different time periods that Jesus went through. Well, the first time period is from 6 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock in the morning. And we see that in verses 16 through 23. Now, just read the first verse. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. The key verb in this section is led. The soldiers led Jesus away. You know, from Thursday evening until Friday at about 9, Jesus permitted others to lead him, to send him, or to bring him to places. He allowed himself to be passed from group to group as a captive. These verses picture for us how that happened in detail, what happened to him during that time. The soldiers mocked him. They dressed him up like a king. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. You know, and they put the robe on him, the purple robe. That must have been really painful because he had already been whipped. And, you know, it's like when you're bloody and it just sticks, the clothing just sticks to you and it opens all those wounds again. And they, all the verbs there are in the present continuing tense. So over and over, they hit him on the head. Over and over, they spit on him. And then when they were done, it says, you know, that everyone had their chance. And in a cohort, there were 600 men. So maybe not 600, but 200 guys, you know, could do a lot of damage. And they did. After they were done, they led him out to Golgotha, the place of the skull, to crucify him. You know, these soldiers were having fun, weren't they? And by their actions, they descended lower than animals. And I really think they thought they were doing this to a person who was a fraud. They had no notion of the fact that they were doing it to the rightful owner of the entire universe and the rightful creator of the universe that we live in, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yet Jesus endured it because he knew he was accomplishing the work which the Father had given him to do. Isaiah 53:7 says, He was oppressed and afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That's the key word in that first section from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock is Jesus was led to different places, even led to be crucified. The second time period is from 9 o'clock until noon. We find that in verses 24 through verse 32. And the key verbs are crucified and mocked. Look at verse 24. It says, "And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each one would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.' They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him." If you see verse 24 in your Bibles, is it in the past tense or the present tense? Look at your Bibles. Does it say they crucified with a D, E-D? They crucified him? Okay. Could translate it that, but it's in the present tense. It's very vividly described. It's they crucify him. It's like Mark is living it over again. He remembers that moment when they put Jesus on the cross. They nailed him to a tree to die 1,000 deaths from thirst, from dehydration, from blood loss, from pain, from suffocation. And, you know, the soldiers were using a form of punishment reserved mainly for slaves, not only for slaves, but especially for slaves, and those convicted of the worst crimes. And they even gambled over his clothing, just like it had been predicted in the Old Testament that they would. And not only that, not only it's bad what the soldiers did, but there were three other groups of people here that are described that did horrible things. Verse 29, it says, "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, saying, 'So, you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself.'" So those people chose to speak to Jesus directly about the temple and saving himself. But Jesus couldn't come down from the cross, could he? Because that's the work he was going there to do. If he came down from the cross, then our sins would not have been paid for. It's exactly what Satan didn't want him to do. He didn't want Jesus to go to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. So it's no wonder he empowered these people to do that work. And then there was a second group, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. You see them in verse 31. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." They knew better than that. They knew, and you can see that they knew better than that, because they didn't speak to Jesus directly. They spoke among themselves. Ridicule mixed with hate and envy, and they turned their noses up at him. They didn't deny his miracles. They knew that he had done miracles. But now they're saying that he is helpless. They're saying, "Show us another miracle, and then we will believe," like they had said many times before. The third group, those crucified with him in verse 32. Second, last part of verse 32. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. These were robbers. These were thieves. The same word there is used to describe Barabbas. So it's possible that there were three men that were actually involved that were revolutionaries, thieves, murderers. And Barabbas was released, but these two guys were crucified. Thieves, robbers, revolutionaries. And they both, at the beginning, piled on. They heaped insults upon him. By 12 o'clock noon, Jesus will have said three of the seven statements from the cross, the last words from the cross. By then, his enemies hated him so much, they went out of the city to this place called Golgotha, out of their way to mock him. Someone once called ridicule the language of the devil. And this reminds me of Isaiah 53, verse 3b. It says there, Brent read this for us, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. So those are two time periods, from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and then from 9 o'clock to 12 noon. And now we'll look at the third time period, from 12 o'clock noon until 3 in the afternoon. And that's found in verses 33 through 39. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. The key word in this third section is forsaken. Forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? He says that in Aramaic so that everybody there could understand what he said. That was the normal, everyday language of the people, Aramaic. His father had abandoned him. His father had turned his back on him. He was separated from his father for the first time in eternity. Can you imagine? Jesus always sought time with his father, and now he doesn't have it. And he's experiencing judgment during the darkness. It was a miracle that happened, this darkness. During that time, Jesus was made sin for us. Jesus was made a curse for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He died in our place. He died for our sin, to redeem us, to buy us back, to save us as the only possible perfect sacrifice, the Passover lamb, the only one who could save us from our sin. You know, at the death of Jesus, at least three or four remarkable things occurred, and Mark doesn't record all of them for us. But there was a terrible earthquake. And Matthew says, you know, the stones actually split apart. And many times when God was doing something fantastic in his world, there would be a tremendous earthquake. And there are two concerning this, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. There's an earthquake in both of those cases. That was one thing that happened. Another thing that happened was the curtain in the temple split from the top to the bottom. This thick stuff that separated, you know, the Jewish people from the Holy Holies was now open. Access to God was open for anybody who trusted in Christ as their Savior. And there were also people who rose from the dead. rose from their tombs and walked around. It was amazing, amazing time. God was working. But there was one other thing that I noticed. You know, there was a guy there who was in charge of these soldiers. They call him a centurion. He's over 100 guys, I think. Those are really tough guys. I mean, really, really tough guys. Centurions, Roman centurions. They are walking trained death machines for enemies of Israel, or enemies of Rome. And he had seen many people die. He watched what Jesus did. He knew what they said about him. He saw all the people mocking him. He saw the darkness. And this is what he said. Surely, this was the Son of God. He's pointing at Jesus. Surely, Jesus was the Son of God. And Mark writes that for us because it fit perfectly with Mark's theme for his entire gospel. That Jesus is the Son of God. He wants us to get that. Jesus is the Son of God. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So we've seen the whole day. Of course, they'll take Jesus down from the cross and they'll get him in the grave before the start of the Sabbath, just like had been predicted in the Old Testament. It was necessary to do that. I guess as we read this passage, maybe we should think about some things. Who do we say that Jesus is? It's probably a really important question. That's what the centurion answered. Surely this is the Son of God. And we should be able to answer that question from hearing this story. Who is Jesus? Is he the Son of God? The second thing we might think about is, how do we arrange our day? Do you use periods of time or do you use tasks? But regardless, whichever one you use, is Jesus included in your plans every day? Whether you think of time-wise or just tasks, is Jesus a part of your day every day? Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. And I think because of that, we can count him into more of our lives. Don't you? Don't you? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this sacrifice that was made for us when we didn't deserve this. We were your enemies. We were far from you. We didn't know anything. And yet the price was paid for our heads, our lives, through Jesus. Lord, we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand. Page 189, Calvary Covers It All.
Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary. stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace, when I looked on his face, of this Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete, I then found at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
The blood of Jesus is what we all need, don't we? We all needed that to cover our sin. Otherwise, we had no hope. Well, it was a pretty tough lesson tonight, wasn't it, getting through that passage? But it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Guess what? On Sunday, we're going to celebrate something great that happened. Jesus is going to rise from the dead on Sunday. And we're going to study about that, and we're going to sing about that, and we're give him the praise for his plan for our lives. Let's pray as we close. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for this great story of salvation, of the price that was paid for us by your Son. Lord, we just look forward to Sunday. We look forward to the resurrection and to seeing Jesus. And we look forward to our resurrection, too, of being finally home with you. Bless us as we leave this place, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Remember, Sunday morning, we're having breakfast at 8:30, 8:30 to 9:30, and then the main service is at 10. So if you come at 10:30, you're going to miss half hour of it. So come at 10, not 10:30, okay? All right, thanks.